This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's 3M Open. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here and also looking quite tan.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I had a friend in town this week, got some color. The weather's been great here in Charleston. I won't spoil the winner for those few people who watch it and get upset, but great week all around.
What great. A week.
Great week all around. Yes, that's Kyle Porter in the absence of Greg Ducharme rocking us with a what a week. Hello, Kyle.
What a week. I will spoil. There was a JT was involved late in the tournament. So if you haven't caught up since Thursday.
I'll tell you what. The best teaser. Push for JT to make the Ryder Cup team that we've seen in quite some time.
Exactly. If you told me a man from Alabama just outside the top 70 was going to be in the mix come Sunday, I think Zach Johnson would be very happy.
That's dangerously, sure. That's dangerously close, KP, to like cut from the same cloth of some of your tweets, right?
Oh, it's like, Patrick's actually my ghostwriter, and I need to confess all these years of writing and same things has actually been, he started when he was in high school. So here we are.
Very well done to Lee Hodges. He got his first career victory today. It was a runaway, though. We'll zoom out a little bit, go earlier in the day, because Bo Hostler gave us one fleeting hope, Patrick, that someone might be able to go out and apply the necessary pressure on Lee Hodges, because Bo Hostler woke us up this morning with a 9-under-62, tied the course record, and featured 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 consecutive birdies from holes 9 through 16. This could have had Lee Hodges shaking in his boots this morning while he was watching PGA Tour live.
If only Kevin Yu was able to do something like this yesterday after turning in 29 and then falling off the face of the map. But look, Bo Hostler's playing some pretty good golf these last 2 weeks. He finished T6, I believe, at the Barracuda Championship. And then you factor in this one, and it couldn't have come at a better time for someone who was outside the top 70 in the FedEx Cup, doesn't really play in major championships all too often. I don't have his starts in front of me, but that's kind of what this part of the year can do. Just like one really solid round. You're not going to have a chance to win a tournament per se, but this finish and this back nine really changes the complexion of his season.
Yeah. The other issue, KP, is I believe when he finished this round, he was in third by himself. And then obviously everybody goes out and also takes advantage of the golf course. He ends up finishing T13, but moves up 42 spots, trying to make a push. That top 50 is going to allow these guys to set their schedule. It's going to allow them to get into all of the elevated events. It's going to be pretty life-changing if you can get hot for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think it makes this part of the schedule more interesting, right? Because it's not, I just said this on CBS Sports HQ, but these are, you're playing for, it's not somebody that's like 130th that's playing for 125th. And we used to try to pump that up and say like, oh, this is so like important, but you kind of, a lot of those guys just got the same outcome no matter like they still got the same number of starts on close to it, you know? And so it was just a weird thing, but this time there's like real implications of not top 70, not making it, or top only the top 70 making it to the playoffs, top 50 getting into elevated next year, and different things like that. So I think it's made it more interesting. Best finish in a major, Patrick, for Bo Hossler was.
Wait. It wasn't US Open when he was an amateur, right? Was it? Was that it?
2012.
So what are you T10 at Marion or no Olympic Club?
T29 at Olympic. He fell off. He wasn't even low am that week because a fellow Longhorn took the honors.
Oh no! Was it Jordan?
JS. Six-time Masters winner Jordan Spieth.
If you just tap into my brain, that sounds right. That's his best major finish from
pretty crazy
15 years ago or whatever that was.
Yeah, he's only played in 8.
Wow.
How old was he then? Like 17, 16?
Mm, yeah, six. I think he's 17. That sounds right.
Okay.
Wow. That was basically the most exciting round of the day. 9 under 62, 2 shots better than anybody else. Martin, Laird, Dylan Wu, Zach Blair put together 7 under 64s. Dylan Wu had a very historic day, Patrick. He had had a great week. The single best putting week of the year, of the season. 11.5 strokes gained putting. He made at least 90 feet of putts every single round. He made 448 feet of putts. That comes out to 6 feet a hole for 72 holes.
That is insane.
That's insane.
What is second most? Do you have it?
Actually, yeah, I do. It was Brian Harman at the Open Championship last week.
Of course. God damn it.
11.35.
Wow. How much do you think Scottie Scheffler would pay for a tournament like that?
He would just give him like 11 that he could slice up and add, you know, 1.5 to 8 tournaments he'd win. That'd be 7 wins.
Yeah, it's like one of those deals where you have a budget for the whole season. And
right.
Okay. But yeah, Dylan Wu, hasn't he been striking the ball quite well since I believe he qualified for the US Open out of Woodmont. That's typically where he goes through.
Yeah, he's having a low-key, like, pretty good year.
Yeah, but he's outside the top 100. Okay, he went from 103 to 85th with that round today. So he needs to move up still a bit, but he just got into the Wyndham Championship once someone else withdrew from the field. So if he carries this over, I mean, that could be 30 spot bump in 2 weeks. But I can't imagine he's going to be gaining over 11 strokes next week at Sedgefield. But look, like I just said with Bo Hossler, I just looked up his standing as well. He actually went down a spot, so I take back everything I just said.
Nice.
But really, you just catch fire here towards the end. And Kyle was saying it's much more compelling. I mean, you look at some of these names on the bubble, like Shane Lowry's on the outside too, Adam Scott, Joel Damon. Kevin Streelman had a nice week. He made a big jump, but these are proven PGA Tour winners. And no offense to the guys who were fighting for 125 in years past, but they haven't really garnered the reputation or resume of some of the guys fighting for postseason berths this year.
I have a couple of items. So when Dylan Wu was in because of Luke List's WD, but then he finished 5th. So he gets in anyway off his top 10, right? So does that get somebody else into Wyndham from Luke List's WD?
I don't know. I'm not the scheduling. Talk to Rob Bolton.
You should be the scheduling czar. The other thing, KP,
I knew that was coming. I knew the Rob Bolton thing was coming.
The other thing, KP, so let's game this out here. So Dylan Wu goes from 103 to 85. He has 502 FedEx Cup points. Currently, number 70, Austin Eckroat, has 594. So I can do a little bit of napkin math and say that is 92 points that he needs to make up. And that doesn't even count, you know, the 10 guys that are already ahead of him, just straight up 92 points. Do you know what finishing position approximately that would be? Cause I've got the distribution right here.
I just tried to look it up but I didn't see because it wasn't posted yet. So 92 is higher than you think.
Yes, it is.
I think it's like, let's say so 500, 300, I'm going to say like fifth.
Okay. Patrick, do you want to endorse that? Do you want to add your own guess in?
I was going to go around a fifth place finish as well.
Yeah, it's seventh. Seventh okay. is 90. Sixth is 100. So I always think, and I think I probably said this last night to Greg too, you know, earlier in the year, you see these guys who, you know, finish ninth and they get these like big jumps in the FedEx Cup standings. But all of these guys having, you know, 500, 600 points at this point in the season, they're going to have a huge Wyndham champion. I mean, JT's 50 out. That's 17th without taking into account anybody around him, Patrick, and the points that they are going to add. So it really is going to require a top end finish for Dylan Wu, a top end finish for Justin Thomas, a top end finish for these guys who are just on the outside of the line.
It's a how far back is two back situation. And yeah, I mean, unlike the 125 where you could probably make up substantial ground with an unsubstantial result at the Wyndham Championship, you really have to do something special. So JT top 20 with some help. But yeah, like Dylan Wu, even though you boat race the field there on Sunday and gain 12 strokes putting, to still need to finish inside the top five. I mean, it goes to show you he has 500 points. Like you said, that's as good as a victory. So.
Oh, good point. Good point. Let's add a fourth voice to this conversation. A man who deals in the currency of FedEx Cup points. We've got him straight. Oh, there he is. Mark Illman. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's the only currency, isn't it? I heard your conversation. I mean, it's not about dollars and cents now. It's about points, right?
No, your wallet, your bank account is filled with FedEx Cup points, and spend them wisely.
Yeah, no kidding. I have not seen the projected standings or what they are now after this week. I would almost be inclined to say that JT, I don't know where he is, would need better than a top 20, surely.
He's going to need about a 17th.
Yeah,
and that does not count. You know, if Dylan Wu finishes fifth or something like that.
Exactly. And then you add to that the fact that they cut from 70 to 50. So if you skating, look, there is precedent because a few years ago, Billy Horschel, you know, came into playoffs. That's when they were four. Started with the Deutsche Bank and TPC Boston. He nearly won there, but bogeyed the last. Then he went to Cherry Hills and won. And then he advanced to East Lake and won the whole thing. But it's different now with three and only 70 getting in. And if you're getting in there at like 70th, then you're going to get busy to just advance to 50th. So you essentially almost need a victory in the playoffs for Justin Thomas to be able to somehow and get in the top 30 and be relevant down there in East Lake.
Yeah. So number 70 right now, Austin Eckert, 594 points. Number 50 right now, Taylor Montgomery, 822. So yeah, you kind of got to get busy either now or that first event where things get quadrupled. That's just
one more thing. Yeah, in the playoffs, the points are quadrupled, right? That's always been the case. We're like 2,500 for a victory. So that's where if you win in the playoffs, then you're pretty much styling. That's how it works.
Yeah, so we were talking about seventh being 90 points in the regular season. It's 360 in the FedEx Cup playoff. Now, everybody.
Inflation.
But the problem is, KP, everybody gets the inflated points, right? So it is kind of like you still have to go out there and play well.
Yeah, of course. I think it really starts to come into play when you finish in the top five. You can really start to leapfrog some people. You know, maybe the math doesn't work out on that, but in my head, that's true. That if you win an event, you're like, you jump into the top 10, right?
Yeah. If you win the first playoff event, you are, as Mark said, styling. You jump like everybody.
Remember back in the day, didn't Bryson win the first two and showed up at East Lake as the prohibitive favorite and then was overtaken by somebody? I certainly remember him. I think it was Aronimink. He was in contention and might have won the next week. But he started off real fast and then slowed down towards the end. So, look, it's like all the other playoffs in the other leagues. You can't go to sleep any week. You're just going to have to play hard.
One win in the playoffs is the equivalent, Patrick, because you put this so nicely before. It's the equivalent of Max Homa's season, which would be the fourth best season in terms of FedEx Cup points. So yeah, they get pretty juicy there pretty quick.
Damn, that is interesting. Yeah. That's a lot. That's probably fair, right? Given a win in the playoffs, but it is like,
there's a net championship. Like, it's all made up, right? I don't know if fair is like part of the equation.
My proposal is to have the three playoff events be a, oh God, how good at math am I? 72 times three is 216.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 216 hole championship. So everybody starts at even par round one of the first playoff event. Then after that four rounds, the top 50 on the leaderboard move on. Okay. Everybody keeps their score. Then the top 30 after the next week go to East Lake. Everybody keeps their score. And then they play the tour championship. It's still
I'm sorry, Rick. I don't want to spend 3 weeks in Memphis or something. Right. Let's move cities. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, no, we're still gonna move on. It's just we're still gonna play four in Memphis, four rounds in Chicago, and then we're gonna go to East Lake, but we're just gonna do it a little differently.
Well, as a past perpetrator of the great city of Memphis, I would advise you to tread lightly on what you say about Memphis there, Mark. This is adjacent to my theory that there should be like a 500 hole major.
Right.
Like there should be a major that, you go complete 500 holes. You can do it. You have 7 days, figure it out. You can do it whenever you want. If you want to play 100 on the first day, maybe 7 wouldn't be enough. How many days would you need to complete 500 holes?
Well, let's see, 500 divided by 7 would be the equivalent of basically 72 holes a day, so 4 rounds a day for a week straight.
That'd be sick. It would be like the
Boston or like the marathon starts and like, you know, only half the people are able to even finish it or whatever. Like, it would be that.
It's an Ironman.
Yeah.
I want to throw this
survival of the fittest.
Kyle, you always make these cool comparisons between other sports and players in other competitive fields, right? And you sort of compare a golfer to a basketball player. I watch the NFL playoffs. Well, I watch the college playoffs for that matter in the pros in football. And like one victory is such a big deal. Now you look at other sports like baseball and basketball, it's a best of five or best of seven. You know, you can kind of skate by with one or two bad performances. And in many respects, I look at the playoffs here on tour as like 1 week. And you pull that off, and there's a finality to it that even though folks might disagree with it, I think it's compelling viewing, certainly. And to be at those events, and I'm fortunate to have been there, it adds a whole lot to it. Like next week at Wyndham, it's like a mind number for me, because you go to this place and Wyndham are putting us on this event where it's all about vacation and have a good time and stuff. And the weather's hot and it's summery and everyone's lying on the beach there. And you've got guys essentially playing kind of for their playoff lives and for their career. And it's this pressure. It's this weird sort of a deal. And every week, every year, this Wyndham event for me is so much fun. And then the playoffs are the same way.
The other thing to consider with all this is, what was I going to say? The Wyndham Championship. Oh, Mark, are they going to have someone in real time with like one of the magic boards updating us on all the standings? How will
it's
we
mark?
Know? Are you doing it, Mark? Are you manning the magic board?
I think he froze.
Oh, we lost him.
No, he just doesn't want to answer the question. Heady play.
That was veteran maneuver.
Yeah, guy's good. He's going to be calling Ohio at midnight.
Tough scene. All right, I guess we should talk about the winner. Lee Hodges gets the job done around TPC Twin Cities. 4 under 67. Patrick was plenty. It was a 7-shot win. He goes wire to wire for that first career dub. Pretty impressive stuff.
Very impressive. I look back to his back nine on Saturday as the real deciding moment in this tournament when Kevin Yu had trimmed the lead all the way down to 2. He goes out, shoots 5 under. He calls it the best 9 of his career. and he really carried the momentum into today. It felt like he kind of got rid of all the nerves and tension on that front nine in round three and played very free. He mentioned the last time he held a 54-hole lead was with Patrick Cantlay at the American Express a couple years ago, and he thought he could kind of par his way to victory, but he wanted to play aggressive today, and you saw it right there on number two. Really tough pin, tough hole, just goes flag hunting, hits it inside 5 feet, really applies the pressure on JT Poston, who, look, when you start from five down to begin with, you really don't have much room for error. It seems like a different type of pressure where you know you have to hole putts with some consistency. And then the eagle as well on top of that, and the back nine eagle was filthy. That 3 wood into the par 5 12th, and from there it kind of – yeah, kind of just set up a stress-free walk.
That'll be the shot, KP. 257 yards to 2 feet 8 inches, in which he makes eagle. I'll tell you what, his shot into number six wasn't so bad either. 255 yards to 11 feet 2 inches, makes that putt for eagle. I mean, that is some world-class pressure shots from 250 yards out for like the biggest day of your life.
Yeah, I think the thing that impressed me about not just those shots, but the performance. So like we talk about this, anybody on the PGA Tour is capable of a week like this, right? Anybody that's in that field could theoretically go shoot 24 under. I think what he did was he had a perfect first 2 days. And then it was a little bit of the Brian Harman thing where it's like, okay, I just have to mentally stay. Like I can't get mentally too far ahead of myself. And that to me, that's harder than what you did physically over the first 2 days, right? It's so difficult to just to stay locked. It sounds dumb, but just to stay locked in shot after shot after shot. And he did it and he hit all the shots. And it was just, to me, it was a super impressive mental performance in addition to the obvious like physical giftedness.
Yeah. And Mark, you know, these guys, second year out of Alabama, we talk about how ready, you know, Colin Morikawa and Matthew Wolf and Victor Hovland have been, but there's all these other guys lurking too, where they're now sophomores and they're going out and they're kind of fulfilling some of their own, maybe personal expectations, as opposed to those external expectations that we've been putting on some of the other guys.
Yeah, certainly. Kyle and I spoke about this Thursday night where he pitched the argument. He goes, all right, he's leading off the first round. This is obviously Lee. And do you think he's going to hang? And I'm like, the Lee I know certainly is going to, for various reasons, the physical gifts certainly, but what he has mentally as well. And then I feel like the people around him are very grounded. He comes from a very grounded family. His coach is just a regular guy. You know, they certainly aren't blowing hot air up his rear end. I mean, he knows he's got to work and he's a talented guy. And the one thing, if you look at Lee Hodges' career, he sort of was a bit of a late bloomer, and every level he's ascended to, when he's figured that level out, he's become dominant. He came out of high school decent, went to UAB for a bit, was good there, went to Alabama, turned into a star, turned all sorts of heads around the place, went to the Corn Ferry Tour, figured that out, had a win, got on the tour, and I had a win. And I'm going to say this, and you know me, I'm pretty loath when it comes to kind of coronations and stuff, but this boy has the game to really be special. I mean, Alabama's got a star in Justin Thomas. I watch Lee Hodges play. I'd say the physicality is comparable. And when he grows in stature mentally, to build on what Kyle's saying, I feel like this boy's a stayer. And now that he believes he can win, I have no doubt that he will win in the future. Again, my only concern is injury. But then as you look at what he does, he's got a gorgeous golf swing that doesn't put a whole lot of torque on his body. He creates ample speed for not working very hard, where a lot of guys create all these tilts and bends and stuff like that. So they put a lot of pressure on their body. Lee smashes it with his graceful pass, and he proved today he can play with a lead. He played with a lead for 4 days, right, on the PGA Tour. That is not to be scoffed at. That, I hope the writers, Kyle, Patrick and company, that you make a big deal about that, because that is not easy. And he proved not just to himself, which is the most important thing, but he proved to the golfing public that Lee Hodges is for real. And I'm a believer.
What's your career comp for him, Mark?
Oh, goodness. I feel like he can put together a career where he gets more than five wins, and he's going to threaten in big events.
No chance.
How about you pay off the Justin Thomas bet, and then we can take another one on this.
Long way to go. I'll take Gordon Sargent, and you can have Lee Hodges.
Bet right away for another case of wine.
This is like a 30-year bet now.
are we going to be around?
maybe longer.
I'll have that bet with you, Kyle. When's Sargent is going to be on the tour, right? How about we go next year, Sargent versus Hodges?
Whoa, next year. Isn't Sargent still at Vandy?
What is he now? Sophomore, junior, or something?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be out next year, right?
Okay.
He's going to get all the points, I think. With the you need 20 points for the accelerated,
but you can use them. You can use them whenever you can. They're eternal.
I'll have that bet with you. I'll wait for you on that bet.
Speaking of inflation, once this bet cashes, it's going to be like a winery, a whole vineyard.
Man, Patrick, I've just come back from France, man, and I looked at some wine lists over there. My God. Kyle, you better start saving, cousin.
The JT bet is not going to hit at this point. We got some time to turn it around.
You should have bought it now and then let it age for 15 years. And then if you have to pay it off, you could sell it, because now you've got this, you know, I'll sell this wine now and then just send him a bottle or whatever.
So I'm going to have to cancel out my JT bet with my Gordon Sargent over Lee Hodges. What is it? What is it? Wins, money? What are we talking?
Oh, you can figure that out, because apparently we have time now, but I will have that bet when you're ready for it.
Rick, you come up with you should come up with like the parameters here.
All right. Gordon Sargent. I'll figure this out. Gordon Sargent versus Lee Hodges. I'll have to circle back on that one. Any other? So Hodges goes from 74th to 33rd in the FedEx Cup standings. He is now just ahead of Russell Henley, Matt Fitzpatrick, Sung Jae-im, just behind Sahith, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth. Any other Lee Hodges takes before we move on?
You don't have Patrick. I'm still kind of catching my breath from this back and forth. First, what, you know, which, Mark kind of comes at the writers in the room here.
I like,
and then he really goes at Kyle.
Which side do you want, Patrick?
I want nothing to do with a Gordon Sargent Lee Hodges bet. That's just that's not for me.
Gordon Sargent's he's a star.
I will let you guys take that one, and I will happily watch from afar.
Okay.
I will say I didn't get to see Lee Hodges play in person this weekend, but I was looking back at him, and he hit, you know, there's a difference to me between good shots and the correct shots. And he hit the correct shot coming down the stretch on every hole. And he came through with shots when he needed to. And granted, playing with a big lead can become dicey mentally, and you can almost get a little too defensive. And there were times when he moved his target lines, you could see him maybe on approach shots and stuff just a little bit, but he still made convicted swings. And he put together a masterclass coming in there. It was super impressive to watch, and well, well earned, because last year at this very place, I had Tony Finau, who was making a run, but everyone was playing for second until Scott Piercy made one mental and one physical mistake, and the whole thing was done and dusted there after the 14th. So it was impressive from Lee Hodges, and he's got a whole lot he can take forward. This is one of those things where you really put it in the confidence satchel and you take it forward, because he's got the game.
I cannot think of anything but Scott Piercy taking his shoe on and off every single shot last year.
Hate to see it.
Oh, God. All right. We are going to continue this conversation. We've got to recap our best bets. Not good. And we have to update the one and done.
Oh.
We have to update that. We will on the other side. We're going to take a quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. I suppose we should chat about this JT Poston debacle on the 72nd hole. Speaking of losing money, which is what we did in our bets this week, JT Poston had quite an expensive 18th. Now, let's before we get to the end result, Patrick, he was on that very close to the water on the right-hand side, ball well below his feet. He had a three-shot lead over the guy's in third, and he was, what, three back at the time?
Correct, three back.
So he's in this awkward, like, well, I probably can't catch Lee Hodges, but I also probably, right? I probably can't come back to those guys behind me. I'm going to go for it, which in the moment I thought was the right move.
I do too. I still think it's the right move, but you got to remember – kind of who the player is, right? JT Poston, he's inside the top 50. At least he was, like, he's in good standing in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
He's won on the PGA Tour last year. Is that decision made by someone in a different scenario? I'm not sure, but I think you got to go for a win there. Lee Hodges still had a wedge shot. I know he stuffed it, but you're not totally sure what a shot he puts on the green to 30 feet will do to Lee Hodges and kind of how he's feeling over that shot. So you got to go for it. The mistake really was after that. I mean, he hits the right shot with the layup and then to not what he needed four shots from 100 yards. That's really the one that I think he'll be kicking himself for, but I would do that 10 times out of 10 if I was JT Poston.
Mark, the vibe I was getting from you was that you did not like that he went for it. Was that a correct assessment of your facial expressions?
I have mixed emotions on this, right? Because I got done with my assignment and we were on the side of the fairway in my cart going back to the compound. And I saw where he was. And I'll backtrack to Saturday afternoon when I had him and Finau in a group. And he had a beautiful – JT didn't miss a shot Saturday. And he had a beautiful drive down there and he was in between five wood and hybrid. And there was a right sort of hole location. And he hit five wood through the back of the green. And Aaron Fleener came past me and he goes – if it's tomorrow afternoon and he's got a chance to win, it's hybrid all day long. It would be the perfect club for that. So he was basically doing what Aaron said the afternoon before. But on a shot like that, you've got to bear in mind, when the ball is that far below your feet for these guys, right, their body is going to slow down and the face is likely to shut down. And if they catch it, they're going to hit something long and left. And with that club, if he does, to that hole location, he wouldn't have had very much whatsoever. Okay, you'd rather miss off to the right-hand side. But the ball was, a good foot below his feet. And for someone who's tall like JT, I mean, he's 6'2"-ish, to stay that bent over to really catch one, that is hard work when the adrenaline was surging. And I was looking at this thinking, all right, he's three back. So he's effectively got a hole if Lee Hodges makes five. And look, Lee Hodges hasn't looked weak with a wedge the entire day. So you got to roll the dice perhaps. But that was the kind of situation. Then I thought about it more. And remember, this guy's under the gun because you've got to make the call quickly. If you hit it in the water along that line, your relief is back kind of where you are. And then if you have another go and then you tweak it to the wrong place, it could have gotten messy in a hurry. So I was like, just hit the thing in the fairway. Wedge it up there close. If you make four, it's good for your confidence. If you don't, you finish second outright. Let Hodges have the win. But I see what Patrick is saying. You've got to try and hold out. But Lee Hodges wasn't going to make six. He certainly wasn't going to make seven. So I questioned the decision to a certain extent, but then I also understood why I tried to go for it. But a hybrid off a lie like that is just that thing, if he catches it, is coming out like a jet, and he's not going to make three anyway.
What's more likely, KP, that Lee Hodges makes a seven or JT Poston makes a five from 98 yards away?
What would, when you say 98 yards away, what are you referencing?
So there? That's where after he took his drop and laid up, he had to get down in four from there. And he didn't.
You need to finish
four after the drop, right? What was it, Patrick? Or he had to go. So his fourth shot was 298 yards. So his fifth shot, sixth shot, seven, eight. No, yeah. So I'm saying there is not a lot of risk in JT Poston going for it, because even if you have to lay up, it is so easy from where he has to lay up to, and he did successfully, to still not make an eight.
Yeah. Yes.
He just totally coughed it up after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm fine with going for it, but you can't. I mean, the way that he made eight was like, that's, you can't do that. You got to finish. I mean, he how much did it cost him? What, 260?
Yeah, the difference between solo second, which was 850,000, and a three-way tie for second is 590, so 260 G's.
But you're dealing with an emotional situation there too, because once he's hit that second shot in the water, the air comes out of the balloon, and all the adrenaline just leaves you, and now it's like, oh heck! And it's so easy. I've seen so many golfers in my time out on golf courses, when something like that happens, the whole thing just comes apart at the seams. So now making eight from where he was, that's unforgivable. But I could have understood him making double real easy. I mean, it was just a horrid situation that he was in.
He go ahead, Patrick.
No, I mean, he just pretty much made a bogey on like a 90 yard par three.
Right. Yeah.
He almost got his ball to stay on the sign, KP, which would have been
it would have been the cover of Normal Sport 3.
Because okay, so if your ball lands on that, it's in the hazard, right?
You gotta swim out there.
But he could play it off of that. If he could he not?
Yes.
You're allowed to.
So, would he have swam out there and given it a look?
Hell yeah. That would have been.
Had Mark underwater calling it.
Or what if he's tied for the lead and his ball sticks is on that thing? You have to swim out there and give it a look.
What is it? What is it made? Like, is it made of,
would it hold
plastic?
I don't know.
It's like one of those, like pool lounge chairs where if you, like a mat that you put in the lake. We have these mats that our kids jump on in the lake, and you can't, as an adult, like if you stand on it, it'll like kind of hold you, but you like sink down.
Yeah. You need more surface. He'd have to like wiggle across it. So his surface area was more spread out.
But then if he stood too close to the ball would just, it might be big enough.
Right.
It might be big enough that it wouldn't sink. Like if he was in the middle, it wouldn't sink. If he was on the edge, I don't think you have any shot.
Only one thing it'd be good for, and that would be the pip. He'd earn lots of points with that thing given the
social media. It would have been the greatest. And as soon as I hit the rocks, I was like, please get on that big 3M thing. Please get on that.
Because there would have been some scenario in which it would have been strategically correct to like go out there and see what's going on, which is absolutely crazy.
Absolutely. It would have been extraordinary.
We were kind of due for one too, because at the Honda it almost happened too.
Yes,
Kirk went right on the 72nd. He almost hit the car.
Yep.
Or Brendan Todd. Remember when Brendan Todd almost shanked one on 17 at Sawgrass onto that island? Could you imagine him going out there and trying to whack one out of the flowers?
Just canoe out there. How about this? JT Poston didn't have a bogey the last 3 days until that hole. 66, 66, and then 5 under, and then he made an 8. That's tough. I respect going for it, but yeah, I think and producer Josh said this earlier, like you can't make eight or you can't make four from whatever he was, 95 yards or 100 yards.
Anything can happen in golf, and it usually does, is the, I think, the saying. Go, Josh, grab this comment that says John Vandeveld would have swam out and then decided to drop, which then he's sopping wet, could you imagine? And he's got to finish out just dripping.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I like that a lot. if you like losing money, tail our bets, Josh. Let's see. Oh boy, that's a lot of red. We got one push, thanks, Greg, and one win. KP, Tony Finau over Cam Young, which was sweat free because Cam Young did not make the weekend, and Tony Finau was basically in it throughout. He ended up finishing, I think, seventh.
Heck yeah, let's go! I'm just carrying this team right now.
Yeah, do we have the math on that? I'm not sure that's exactly true, but for this week, you absolutely
did. It's not even close to true.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Josh.
This is wrong.
Actually, doing the auditing of this contest of this, yeah, tough scene.
That's not good.
One and done. Oh, there's our best bets.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Cam Davis to miss the cut. That was solid, Patrick. He finished what, T5?
Yeah, I took a long look in the mirror when Cam Davis was making his run today. I'm going to turn into really positive version of myself for the playoffs. Playoff P, make the cut parlays, I think, is going to be the way to go.
There's something wrong with you.
a lot. Let's not open that door.
All right, we've got one final thing to do, and it's arguably the most important thing to do because we are coming down the home stretch, and our one and done is very much up for grabs. We will update those standings after a quick word.
Hello everyone, it's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
The one and done. Oh, boy. Let's see. Kyle, Patrick, the Basement Boys opted both to go with Ludvig Åberg. That was looking good for 36. Got off to a slow start. Was hot on Friday. Patrick, you answer for this first. 16,614 for Ludvig.
Sure.
Incredible. Just another week where we're making up ground on the leader there. We talked about Scott Piercy earlier in this episode.
Ground on the leader. Yeah.
And we'll get him in 2030. I'll get him before the JT bet hits.
Technically true.
I'm thinking Mark, we're at the stage where Mark has that blister. It just popped and he's taken off the shoe. You know, a lot of things are going his way. He's making some nervy picks here.
I feel like Mark is squeezing the club pretty tight right now.
And honestly, he might not say it, but this $16,000 that me and Kyle put on the board this week, it's definitely in the back of Mark's mind.
Here you go. If Patrick were to make up $16,000 on Mark every single week, he needs 435 more weeks to get there. So that is about 8.5 years.
Yeah, 2030. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So spot
on. And then a little bit. We're actually looking at the – Patrick and I have opened a formal investigation into the bylaws of the league to see whether we can actually combine our totals for the end of the year. So
you're playing the first draft pick, aren't you?
We'll report back. Yeah, I'm thinking Sergeant.
The other good news is Mark still has that pesky asterisk next to his name that we might have to deal with at some point.
Hate that.
Yep.
Let's see. Greg opted for Lucas Glover. That got him $0. Sia Najad went with Sepp Straka. That got him $0. I won the week with Emiliano Grillo, $196,950. I stay in my same position. How did I not gain any more ground here? Emiliano Grillo had a decent week. The fans went with Cam Young. Spoiler alert, that was worth $0. Kyle Matsuyama, Kyle Mysterious Matsuyama, got $46,744. And Mark, who has been gripping the club a little tight, you know, he's been sleeping on a lead for a long time. This is why he wants you, the writers, to make sure to include this, because he knows how impactful it is to sleep on the lead week after week after week. And it's weighing on you, Mark, isn't it? Because the last 6 weeks, you've earned a total of $132,000.
That $132,000 aside, I feel like Justin Thomas right now, because I've missed three or four cuts. And you know, it's not just missing by one. I'm missing cuts by a long way. So, yeah, it's been a bit embarrassing, I must admit, because the making cuts is the most important thing to me, just to kind of get in the money, because you never know what happens over the weekend. Sungjae was a panic pick, I will be honest, because I was between Tony Finau and Sungjae this week, and I called wrong, apparently. So Tony played pretty well. I'm in a pickle for next week, I will be honest with you, because I've had Tom Kim holstered the entire time for this event. And he'd been playing well, and now he's out with a foot injury. So I'm keen to see what happens next week, but I'm feeling pretty good for the playoffs because I've got three studs lined up, and I'm just kind of I'll play Rory in the last one, but the other two boys, I'm vacillating between who goes in Memphis and who goes in Chicago.
So JT is not one of them.
Mark is at 16,600,000. I will tell you, there is still $15.7 million available. 1.36 next week. Then 3.6 million in Memphis, 3.6 million in Chicago, and a jarring $7.2 million at East Lake. This thing's never been more wide open.
Let's go, Rory.
I have to convince Mark to pick Rory before East Lake, because that's my only. I think are he and I the only ones that have Rory left?
I will find out for you.
I think Greg might. I'm going to have to go full on Billy Horschel on your ass, Mark, and just run through the playoffs.
The available Rory selections go to Kyle, Mark, Greg, and Mr. Mysterious has not used them.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay.
This is problematic.
Mark, what are you going to do if you're number two on this list and Kyle M still has Rory?
Well, if Kyle M wins, look, I can handle that, because he paid money to be in this thing. But losing to you clowns, that would be – I wouldn't sleep for weeks on end. That would be terrible.
No one has Scottie Scheffler available. Sia has John Rahm available.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
No, he's used him, hasn't he? Used
Scottie twice? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Who? Oh,
no. Sorry. We're good. I thought I saw an infraction. Sia has not used John Rahm. I believe what you're remembering is he did not get a pick in. He tried to use John Rahm after the deadline, did not get that pick in.
Yeah, that's right.
So he still has him available. Who else would be a good one? Scotty, Rahm, Rory.
Hovland, Morikawa.
Oh, Hovland probably. Okay, the oh, there's only one of us who have Oh god, it's Mark.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, he's rattling off the people that he has available. Morikawa is another one.
Yeah, but like I've said, Mark has too many people left.
And we're going to a US Open style course. Now that I didn't use Finau this week, just in case, you know, I've got a safety parachute.
I think I have Fitzpatrick left, which is nice. I have Wyndham Clark.
Damn. You do, Kyle, have Fitzpatrick left. You also, for Charles Schwab, it's just listed in here as X.
Yeah, that's not Xander, but rather I just didn't pick.
Oh, I thought it was the website formerly known as Twitter.
Well, not that either. I might have Burns left too. Sammy B. Is he good?
We should really compile. Yeah, so Burns is available for Kyle, myself, and Kyle M. I'm in a Kyle sandwich there.
Fleetwood, big Sep. Sep, the big Sep Straka might be a good playoff pick.
So basically, hold on, not about Sep. I'm thinking about Kyle Mysterious. So yeah. Basically, Kyle, I'm going to use Rory at the Tour Championship. So you're going to have to burn him before then.
You might have some problems if Kyle M surpasses you at the BMW.
Yeah, or before. Yes.
Because then he can stymie you.
Then he's gonna send you a message and say you better use him beforehand.
Okay.
Big couple weeks coming up, Mark. Couple weeks.
Exciting. I'm nervous. I'm like JT. I've got to get off the snide over here and put some good golf together.
This would not be the time to be scuffling, Mark. If I were you, you know, heading into all this big money, you want to be trending upwards at this time of year.
Yeah, at least catching 16,000.
It's you guys have been singing off the same song sheet for the entire season.
Hey, the people love the hits. Hits.
Nobody else has an asterisk. That's all I'm saying.
It's true. Listen to it. Yeah, we're still talking about that.
You know, I'm actually ready to investigate the, you know, Kyle M doesn't even have to come on here and defend his picks every week. That the mental freedom that allows, I think we should put an asterisk next to his name too. I'm about to just eliminate everybody.
Why don't you just put an asterisk in front of everyone who's ahead of you guys?
That might be a good idea. We're working on it. All right, gents, Wyndham Championship next week. Obviously, as we've discussed a million times, it is the final regular season event. I think it's 44 of 44, which is pretty crazy to think about. And then we'll be rocking and rolling right into these playoffs. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Three things. One, I'm out on vacation next week. Pumped to
enjoy.
Go to Colorado. Two, I had to host on Thursday night. It's so difficult. And Rick, thanks, you're very good at it. And I'm grateful for that. And three, I just, if we have like 2 minutes here, I want Mark to walk me through how Lee Hodges is going to get to 5 career PGA Tour victories, because that is like Harris English's career. It's almost Ricky Fowler's career. Like, do we think he's as good as those guys?
Yep. I do.
You think Lee Hodges is as good as Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, I do.
Ricky Fowler is like one of the 15 best players of the last 20 years.
I do. And I will die on this hill. I will. You guys can record this thing, Josh. I'm on the hill.
It's live on YouTube.
The world.
I'm
in the Lee Hodges camp. I'm a believer. And I've said this, you guys, I know this game. I've been around so many stars that didn't make it. This guy's got the chops. He does, in my opinion. But what do you call it, Patrick? The eye test. He passes the eye test.
He does have good action. It's kind of like, Davis Riley-esque. It feels like his swing is, you know, that type of action. But Mark, if I'm you, I would put my money where my mouth is. Not only with this Gordon Sargent bet that's going to cash out in the year 3,000, but why not a little sooner? You know, use him in the postseason.
Use him. Use him. Roll him out. Roll him out in the first leg.
Look, the guys I've got for the postseason are all proven winners, you know, big time winners. So.
It's going to be so annoying if Mark wins this. I hate it when Mark wins.
I can't get past this Lee Hodges take. He's fine. He's a good player. I
mean, you know, I find that curious, Kyle, because you're the guy that normally has these sorts of takes, and then you just toss them up, and once in a while they hit, and then the rest of the time you're like, wah, wah, wah. I can come out with a wild one once in a while, Connor.
Mark, how do you feel about this? Eric just said that's up there with the Scheffler take of mine.
Well, I don't know what the evidence is for Lee Hodges being like a really great PGA Tour player.
He has got all of the game. He putts it great. He's got wonderful touch. The guy's his cerebral approach to the game is the most impressive thing to me. And like I say, when you're coming down the stretch and the sphincter is tightening, you know that tendon starts pulling on your brain? He hit the right shot every single time. He pulled the right club. Everything, he had not won on the PGA Tour, but he played like he had been there forever. Because oftentimes when you are chasing someone for your first win, even though you're nervous, you have that chaser's freedom. When you're playing out in front, then you sort of got your foot halfway on the break. So I just thought it was a masterclass this afternoon. And so he showed me that he had not just the way to swing it, because it's beautiful. He hits it flush every time. Did you see those putts that he hold out? They weren't limping into the hole. Those things were going in there with speed. He was playing like he meant it. And it was a very impressive performance. I put a big check mark in my Lee Hodges column this afternoon.
Last word if you want it, KP. We're not going to be able to settle this tonight.
Well, statistically, he would just have to make an extraordinary leap from where he's been at for like the last 3 years.
Kind of like the Justin Thomas leap that you bet on, right? He was going to win two times a year for the next 10 years. What was it?
To become the player that Mark thinks he's going to become. So it could happen. We've seen it from Sam Burns is a good example, right? Like that can happen. It just usually doesn't. So I'll take Gordon Sargent.
The good news is we'll
never know.
Eventually. No, eventually we will. I don't know if we'll ever talk about it. We will eventually find out. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. No. Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Next week for the Wyndham Championship. Big thanks to producer Josh, who records all of this. You can find Mark Immelman on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Patrick McDonald available at Amateur Status. Kyle Porter, enjoy your vacation. Can be found at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.